To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. We've got Chapter 9 of Vatican Abdicator coming up on this episode, and I'll set that up for you in just a second. Let you know where we're at so you can enjoy the chapter whether you've been listening or not. But first, I want to mention that coming up in my news segment in just a minute or two here, I'm going to be making a big announcement about a book, one of my books. So, that's coming up. But yes, let me set up what we're about to get into on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. We've got Chapter 9 of Vatican Abdicator. We've got interstellar war going on. The Eldred seem intent on wiping out humankind. To them, we're a remnant of their ancient enemy, a violent, dominating race, and we should be eliminated for the greater good. The Eldred have ruled the civilized universe since overthrowing the yoke of the ancient enemy a million years ago. They've wiped out many attempts by the ancient enemy to revive their race. The ancient enemy, at the time of their destruction, sent out star seeds to try to replant their race. That's how we got started, but we escaped their notice. Until now. Thanks to a couple of other races, the Flays and the Domo, keeping us hidden. They did that to exploit us themselves, of course. But now the Eldred are in a quandary because we're significantly more advanced than most of the offshoots of the ancient enemy that they wipe out. So they tried a plague to thin the herd, so to speak. They commanded us to stay within the orbit of Jupiter. Now, we've developed a vaccine for the plague, and we've ignored their command. But that isn't why they attacked. Because what happened was one of the ancient enemy appeared out of suspended animation, and he began pretending to be human. That made the Eldred snap, and they began attacking human targets. The formerly suspended animation member of the ancient enemy, Dolome, actually took over the Universal Islamic Nation on Mars. He used his telepathic mind control techniques to do that. So then the Eldred hit Mars hard. Now BC, our Vatican Abdicator, currently leader of the free world at this point, pretty much, he led the forces of the Universal Trade Zone against the Eldred, forcing them off Mars, and then he united humankind for the first time ever, pretty much, after that. United in our battle against a couple of common enemies, the Eldred and Dolome. Now, most people didn't know about the alien part of the war going on. The Universal Trade Zone and the Universal Islamic Nation had been fighting wars for decades, and this seemed just like another escalation. Most people in the UTZ at first thought that the plague was from the UIN. Well, BC revealed all to the general public last time around in our last chapter. The Flays and the Domo were introduced, as they had shown up to complain that Dolome, now on the loose, was hitting them, hitting targets in their area. So BC is leading humankind's efforts to build ships and vaccinate everyone against the Eldred Plague, and all the while he's bracing for the next attack by Dolome, the ancient enemy, or the Eldred. But BC has a plan. He wants to capture an Eldred ship. They have a technological advantage, so BC wants to level the field a bit by capturing and reverse engineering one of their vessels. So we'll see if BC's people can pull that off in Chapter 9 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, as promised, I have an announcement. I've been thinking about this since I was at Balticon this past year. I was there, and I realized it had been a few years since I had debuted and launched Alibi Jones in the Hornet's Nest. Did that at Balticon in 2015. Man. So it's been a long time, and I needed to have a new book out. And I've mostly been focused on comics, so I hadn't gotten all the writing done I would have liked to on the next Alibi Jones novel. I've got the shape of it. I've got most of it mapped out. I've got a lot of it written. But now it's time to get serious about it. I'm going to get Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth out, officially launching it next Memorial Day weekend at Balticon. I think it's, what, Balticon 54? But yes, I will be launching the new Alibi Jones novel at the next Balticon. So if you're looking for a con to be a part of, well, that might be one to do next Memorial Day weekend in Baltimore, Maryland, which I find to be quite a lovely city, despite what some have said. Now, if you want to help support my writing efforts and help support this podcast, it would be great if you could head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and become either a $2 member or a $5 member or a $10 member. As we get closer to book launch time, I will be giving you previews of the book if you are a patron that you won't get otherwise. So let me just plant that seed, speaking of seeds. But again, big announcement, the Starseeds of Earth to come out Memorial Day weekend 2020 at Balticon in Baltimore, Maryland, the big science fiction convention. That's my plan. All right, up next we will get into chapter 9, of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hey guys, I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now here's Chapter 9 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC's plan comes together over the next few weeks. The project finds an asteroid that fits the bill, about half an orbit away from the old project base. The rock is large, reflective, and has a big tunnel already in place inside of it. They clear more space as needed. At BC's instruction, project technicians mount twin lasers on each side of the tunnel entrance. They mount the UIN Takeover Tech's energy draining coil in the base of the tunnel, and the tech itself in the tunnel roof overhead. Chris and Dell have been working on the UIN ship they brought back in a hidden part of the project base's landing bay, mounting the transpace drive and turning it into a close duplicate of one of Dolomé's ships. The ship is now ready and waiting. The Domo representative has been in contact with BC, keeping him informed of Dolomé's raids and whereabouts. Dolomé's ships and crews have continued to be active in Flays and Domo space and hitting targets on the edge of Eldred territory. BC asks the Domo to keep telling him where Dolomé is attacking, hoping to find the right moment to launch his decoy and his plan, to catch the Eldred's attention. The Eldred won't believe the decoy's really Dolomé if he's actually off hitting them somewhere else worlds away at the same time. Dolomé doesn't need to be back in the solar system, just away from Eldred's space.
Where are you, Dolomé?
BC has spent nearly a month playing the waiting game, playing hide-and-seek with Dolomé while watching over the preparations for his mousetrap. Supervision. He tells himself that's why he's staying out at the project base. Certainly not just to hang out with Anita. Truth is, he hardly sees her. The project base is large. BC occupies much of his time exploring. He tries not to get in Anita's way as she runs full speed through her days. Many days he doesn't see her at all, just hears from her over the comm when she calls his quarters with news or a question.
I think she keeps busy to keep avoiding me. Or maybe I'm just paranoid. Then again, what's not to be paranoid about? After all, they are out to get us. I wish Dolome would get on with it. The waiting game, I hate it. At least the Eldred haven't attacked us again. Yet. I know they're out there, probably nearby, but we can't find them. That's why we need one of their ships. Gotta figure out their shielding, weapons, see what their drive system is like. Del and Krish and the boys will have a field day, once we get them a ship.
BC, Anita calls him up out of his reverie over the comm. Mbeke for you, line one.
Mbeke? How long has it been?
Mbeke!
BC, he calls back after the slight delay that accompanies Earth-to-asteroid-based communications.
How are you?
As well as could be expected. As good as the Pope can be,
Mbeke says.
Things are pretty bad here, BC. Despite the vaccine, the plague is still claiming victims. I've reinstated the OPO to help me keep order, but UTZ people are abandoning their posts, or dying. Then there was your announcement last month. We saw rioting here after that.
I'm sorry to hear all that, Mbeke, BC tells him. I'll be coming back to Earthside once I finish a little project I'm working on out here.
Can't say anything more on this channel. Hell, on any channel. Don't want to blow it now.
Right. A project.
BC just nods.
I see. Can't say what it is,
Mbeke says.
I'm not even sure our old CCUs would be secure from them, BC admits, given our current circumstances and opposition.
Mbeke gets it.
I understand. Well, I hope to see you soon. I agreed to run the NCC, not the whole planet,
Mbeke exclaims. And I didn't expect to be in charge of anything, BC fires back. Never mind everything. He laughs an ironic laugh.
Rising to the level of our incompetence, eh?
Mbeke says.
Well, let me know what's happening. When you can.
Will do. Good luck to all of us, huh?
Look, what about the power of prayer, BC?
I'll take whatever edge I can get, BC jokes.
Mbeke out,
he says, signing off.
People are still dying, Mbeke says. But Wentworth seems convinced it's cured, at least for now. So why are people still dying?
BC, Anita calls over the comm.
What is it?
The Domo called while you were speaking with Mbeke. It's Dolome, they've found him. His ships are heading back towards the solar system.
Funny, that really shouldn't be good news, but it is.
Great, let's do it, BC commands. BC's plan is put into action. The decoy Dolome ship is launched and travels over to lurk around the trap asteroid. The project launches Stinger ships to go after the fake Dolome UIN ship as it appears. A small fleet of Eldred ships soon appear. Their sleek silver forms hang back up above the plane of the elliptic, avoiding asteroids.
Right on cue. Although I didn't expect to see so many Eldred ships. I just need one.
BC boards a Stinger ship and heads out to be closer to the action, to see his trap at work and watch his plan take shape.
Get to the asteroid, boys. Make it fast.
Eldred ships begin to drop and swarm around the decoy, but it manages to elude them and head towards the trap asteroid. BC watches from the bridge as his ship pulls alongside the other project ships, now disengaging from their attacks on the decoy as the Eldred ships approach.
Well, let's see if this actually works.
BC can't really make out too much of the action from his vantage point. Can you give me some ideas to how it's going? BC asks the captain.
Sure thing, she says. Hold on and I'll get a view screen up for you.
She punches in some commands into the control panel in front of her. A light blue three-dimensional panel appears in the air in front of BC, a holographic heads-up display. Asteroids and ships dot the screen, labeled and represented in varying colors. Eldred ships are blue, project ships are green, asteroids are purple, and the decoy ship is bright red. As BC watches, the red ship darts away from the blue ships and towards an asteroid of a different color, white. It has no label.
Is the white rock the trap? BC asks.
Yeah, we didn't want to label it that, though. Probably shouldn't even be a different color, the captain tells him. She sounds a little put off.
Sounds like someone was overruled on the tactical display decision.
Hey, there it goes. The red ship has disappeared inside the white rock on the display.
The decoy's in the trap, the captain informs him.
Let's see if an Eldred ship takes the bait.
Blue ships surround the white rock.
Are they firing at it? BC asks. I can't tell from this.
They're blasting at the rock, but it's doing what we'd hoped it would, reflecting and ablating the energy, she tells him. One of the blue ships dives in towards the rock.
This is frustrating. Can't tell what's really happening.
Aren't there any cameras on the trap rock?
I'd like to see a visual feed, see what's going on. We've got cameras and other tactical equipment on there, but the plan is to keep the rock quiet until we get an Eldred ship in there. Then they'll start broadcasting.
She notices something out of the corner of her eye.
Here we go! They're in! I'll switch to the video feeds!
BC's blue screen blinks off, replaced by four camera views from inside and outside of the trap. There are bright flashes, and two of the feeds go blank. The energy-draining coil rises into the picture on one of the two remaining screens as the hull of the Eldred ship glides across the top of that screen. The other remaining feed shows the decoy ship, docked inside the trap rock, alongside the small base built for this very purpose. The energy-draining coil glows blue as it generates its field. As BC watches, the coil contacts the hull of the Eldred ship above it. The camera pulls back as someone adjusts the zoom. BC sees the energy field grow to cover the Eldred ship, hopefully draining the energy from it.
"The Eldred ship is powering down," a voice announces over the comm. "The decoy crew is off their ship. Automated protocols are engaged. Stay clear. We're blowing the other side of the rock open."
There's a flash on the feed that shows the decoy ship as they blast open the other side of the rock, the other end of the tunnel, bored through the trap asteroid.
"We've got the Eldred ship. Let the decoy go."
The now unmanned decoy ship decouples from the dock and flies out from the other side of the trap asteroid.
"Could you put up the other display?" BC asks the captain. The light blue tactical screen reappears.
BC watches the red ship streak across the screen. A swarm of blue ships give chase, leaving the stranded ship behind in the project's trap asteroid. The decoy, the red ship, disappears off the edge of the screen.
"Can we follow the decoy?" BC asks, and the red ship is back on the screen as the display adjusts.
But the blue ships soon reach it, and the red ship then disappears from the middle of the display.
"The decoy ship has been destroyed by the Eldred," the captain confirms.
"Show me the feed with the captured Eldred ship," BC asks.
The feed reappears, the Eldred ship still bathed in the blue glow of the energy-draining field. Small glowing dots, like fireflies, are appearing around the ship.
"What are those?" BC asks. "What's going on? What are they trying to do?"
"That's not them, it's us," the captain says. "That's the UIN's takeover tech. We modified it some, loaded it into little bots, shielded from the effects of the energy-draining coil."
The lights descend upon the Eldred ship as the bots affix themselves to the ship's hull.
"The takeover tech is attached and attempting to compromise the Eldred ship's systems," the comm says. "Prepare to deploy the simulated explosion."
Here comes my favorite part.
"Show me the other feed, please," BC asks.
The video feed changes. BC watches as a round mass of metallic particles is propelled out of the newly blown open end of the trap asteroid. A flash blinds the camera, and the screen glows white. As the camera adjusts, BC can see the debris field spreading out from the end of the trap asteroid. It's a carefully constructed debris field made up of bits and pieces of salvaged Eldred ships.
"Not that they left us a lot to work with. We gathered all the bits we could from around Mars. Hopefully it'll convince them that the ship we just captured has been blown up, and they'll leave it to us. Let's see if they buy it."
"Can I get the heads-up display back?" he asks.
"Sure thing."
BC watches the blue ships on the screen buzzing around the fake wreckage of the Eldred ship and the trap asteroid and around the area where they destroyed the decoy ship. One by one, the blue ships begin disappearing from the screen.
"Yes!"
BC can't help but let out a yell as the last blue ship disappears.
"Give me the asteroid cam feed again."
"So demanding," the captain says with a laugh,
but she puts the interior feed back on for BC. On the screen, the blue-glowing Eldred ship sits with the energy-draining coil attached to its lower hull.
"Doesn't look like they're going anywhere, and the others think they're dead."
A hatch dilates open in the smooth side of the ship. The Eldred crew begins emerging, wearing atmosphere suits. They look around suspiciously, but seem dazed, confused. Some leave the ship and merely stand aside, almost catatonic. As BC watches in his monitor, project scientists approach the Eldred crew. The Eldred put up no fight and allow the scientists to lead them away off camera to a waiting project ship.
"Well, well, well. We've got ourselves an Eldred ship."
BC and his ship return to the project's main asteroid base. Krish and Del are waiting for him in the landing bay as he leaves the ship.
"We did it. Now that we've actually managed to capture one of their ships, the boys here have got to be salivating over the prospect of reverse engineering that Eldred tech."
"Great job, BC!"
Krish greets him and slaps him on the back. The short scientist is grinning broadly.
Our cargo carrier is loading the captured ship on board right now, bringing it over here so we can get to work. We'll keep it in the hidey hole we made for working on the decoy. It's perfect. We'll be dissecting her in no time.
Del nods down his approval, characteristically reserved, but even he can't help crack a little bit of a smile and add his approval.
Well done, BC,
the tall English scientist says to him. Del then looks over to Krish.
We should go get ready for our delivery.
You make it sound as if we're waiting on takeout, Krish says, and then laughs.
Have fun, you guys. Hey, where's Anita? BC asks the two men.
She's supervising the captured Eldred crew, Del tells him. They're bringing them in now on the other side of the landing area,
he says, pointing past BC to a stinger ship, landing by the bay's distant other side.
We should go,
Del says to Krish. Del tries to hide it, but I think he's more excited than Krish is about taking that ship apart.
I don't want to keep you guys. Go ahead. But remember to be very careful, gentlemen, BC says to them. Watch out for booby traps, automatic self-destructs. The takeover tech has infiltrated the systems, but...
Krish waves BC's warnings aside.
We know. We know all about these things. Don't you worry.
We'll take every precaution, I assure you,
Del says with authority.
You, I believe,
BC says and laughs.
Oh, that hurts,
Krish says in mock pain. The two turn and leave, leaving BC standing alone next to his ship.
Let's go meet the crew. See what they're like. What sort of fuzzy blue koala bears do we have here?
BC strides across the vast landing area. Anita is trying to shepherd the 12 aliens across the landing bay as BC approaches. The aliens look lethargic and dull, and seem more inclined to wander aimlessly than follow Anita. Two Project security guards are futilely trying to help. The leader of responsibility for the ship is obvious by decoration. He's also obviously not well at all. Instead of the Eldred's usual light blue coloring, the leader is turning gray.
BC, Anita greets him. Am I glad you're here? Can you try talking to these Eldred? They don't seem to be listening to me. What's wrong with them?
The Eldred crew members show no sign of recognizing their surroundings. All of the crew members are losing color, fading to a dull gray.
I'll try.
Hello, I'm Bernard Campion.
They remain silent, non-responsive, and gray. BC walks alongside the alien. The Eldred leader of responsibility continues to ignore him.
There's no need to be so heroic, BC tells the leader. The Eldred leader pays no attention to BC.
Instead, its eyes close. It collapses at BC's feet.
What the fuck?
Medic, BC calls out. Several come running but stop in their tracks when they see the Eldred.
The closest medtech says to BC. We really don't know what to do with one of these, sir.
One of the others pushes past and kneels over the prone alien. He tries to find a sign of life, a pulse, anything. He stops and looks up at BC.
I think he's dead, the medtech says.
What?
Huh.
Looks like he is. Hard to tell.
The Eldred does appear to be dead. Suddenly, the Eldred next to the leader's body also collapses.
Shit, another one down.
Then the other Eldred drop, one by one, like a cluster of fuzzy gray dominoes, apparently from highest rank to lowest. BC and the medtechs check the bodies for any signs of life.
All dead.
BC straightens up from the last body. The medtechs line the alien corpses up in a row. BC looks back over the row of dead Eldred lying on the ground and shakes his head.
Why? What is this? I've heard of some animals that die in captivity. Maybe they're like that? Weird, it's unusual. They wouldn't even speak. Why is that?
BC, Anita calls over to him. He straightens up, fights back an upwelling emotional urge to let tears start flowing.
Why is it hitting me like this? I don't really know. Just hits me kind of funny.
What is it, Anita? He asks in a tired voice.
What did we do wrong? She asks him, obviously pained.
I don't know. Maybe they just can't live in captivity.
They were acting so strangely. I've never seen them so oblivious.
It's funny. I can see a battle in space, see one of their ships blow up and not feel much of anything. But to see them collapse and die right in front of you like that?
BC doesn't know how to finish, what to say. He shakes his head again.
I'm sorry, BC,
Anita says.
Sorry? Why should you be sorry? It's not your fault.
I know. But I'm sorry this has put a damper on the victory. Our capture of their ship, she tells him. I can see it on your face and your eyes. This really is affecting you.
I'm fine, BC says. But thanks for reminding me we do have something to celebrate. How about we do dinner? She eyes him suspiciously, but then she actually smiles. You're on. See you at 8?
8 it is, BC agrees. He leaves Anita in the landing bay and heads for the asteroid base's control center to see what's become of Dolomei's actual forces.
They were on their way into our neck of the woods. Can't allow our victory here to distract us from him. Wouldn't be good to let him surprise us.
Dolomei's ships are gone, a tech at the center informs him. We tracked them as they came out of their transpace jumps. They were hanging back. Seemed like they were watching us battle the Eldred. When the Eldred jumped away, they took off too.
Well, keep your eyes open. We can't be sure if they went after the Eldred or if they're just trying to fake us out.
Will do, sir. Keep me posted.
I wonder who Dolomei wants to attack more.
Us or the Eldred?
BC and Anita meet for dinner in Von Kilner's old arboretum. Anita makes arrangements for food to be delivered from the project's kitchens. BC finds a table and chairs so they have places to sit and something to eat off. BC and Anita sit across from each other at the table, looking at the steam rising from the food, looking around at the vegetation, but not really looking at each other. Anita breaks the silence.
Well, guess we should ladle this stuff out and eat, huh?
Guess so, BC agrees. They spoon out portions onto their dishes and pass the food between them in awkward silence.
Damn, I don't know what to say.
Looks good, BC sputters out lamely.
Really? I guess it's okay, she says.
They eat quietly.
This is so lame. Gotta say something.
We did pretty good today, getting that Eldred ship. Everybody did really well. We fooled the Eldred, BC says with some pride. And Dolomei stayed out of the way.
Trying to start a conversation over dinner.
We did well, we really did, Anita agrees. And Chris and Del haven't been heard from since they stashed that ship away for study this afternoon.
Are they okay? BC asks with a hint of alarm in his voice.
Oh, yeah, they're fine. It's just an expression, BC, sorry.
Stop apologizing, he laughs. Forget about them for now. There's more I want to talk to you about.
BC is cut off by the sound of the comm cutting through.
Mr. Campion, the UTZ Council is on the line. Priority call. Sorry to interrupt you.
Put them through, BC says with a sigh. Campion here, go ahead.
Campion, it's Wentworth. It's bad. Getting worse. We need you back on Earth.
Right, when?
Now would be good. There's something wrong. The plague vaccine doesn't seem to be working for everyone. Not anymore. I'm calling an emergency meeting of the UTZ Council.
You are?
Actually, no,
Wentworth corrects himself.
You are. How soon can you get back here?
Anita is already boxing up their dinner and clearing the table.
How soon is now? BC asks rhetorically.
Anita gives him a slightly disgusted look.
What? Nothing, she insists.
Right. It's never nothing. Even I know better than that.
Campion?
Wentworth asks over the comm. I'm on my way. Campion out, he says, ending the communication. He looks over at Anita.
Sorry.
Don't be.
She isn't looking at him. Avoids eye contact as she tells him.
You should get going.
Here, she says, finally looking his way as she hands him the box with the rest of the dinner they were sharing.
You can eat it on your way there. I've got to get going too, she tells him. She ducks out of the arboretum before BC can respond.
Great.
That was Chapter 9 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Well, BC got his ship. Now he's got to get back to Earth and find out what Wentworth means when he says it's bad, getting worse. Doesn't sound good. And the plague vaccine is failing. So, all is not well. Even though he got his ship, BC will head back to Earth and we'll find out what's happening as we go with him on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, my big announcement was that the next Alibi Jones novel is coming out Memorial Day weekend 2020, and it will be launched at the next Balticon in Baltimore, Maryland, science fiction convention. So that is my big news of the day, of the week, of the year. So yeah, another reason to be there at Balticon for Memorial Day weekend 2020. And please, if you can, help support this podcast and my next book and my writing efforts, my creative efforts, by becoming a patron at Patreon. You go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and you can become a $2, $5, or $10 a month supporter and help these efforts at creating new science fiction. That is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.